We can also be here because maybe our spouse said you need to be here. My wife maybe said something about your preaching today. You've got to be there. But, you know, there's lots of different reasons why we're here today. For each person in the room, there might be a different reason. But I hope that our reason is because we want to be here and that we want to worship God together as a body of believers. And that would be our motive. 2 years ago, I was not at the point of being here joyfully, I'll be honest with you. I was in a dry spot in my life, and, you know, coming here, you came because that was the expectation, right? Perhaps you can relate. Maybe that's why you're here today, is there's that expectation that you be here, and that you don't want to disappoint people. Maybe your motives are a little bit better and that you want to encourage somebody when you're here, right? But 2 years ago, I was going through the motions, and then God got a hold of me in different ways, and I've shared part of this story before, but I got involved in a young adults type of group that we're doing over Zoom, because it was that time in our lives when COVID was a thing, and so we were doing this over Zoom, and just little bit by little bit over that time, God got working in my heart more and putting a more of a passion in my heart to be here on a Sunday, to want to be here, to have a desire to be here. And it wasn't just because it's Sunday morning and you know, that's why, but it was because I wanted God to be a bigger part of my life throughout the week. And so, whether we're meeting as a young adults group, I was 50, yes, I'm not really that young, but young adults group, they let me in, or if I'm here, there's a joy now that I didn't have back then. Perhaps you can relate with that too. Maybe there's been times in your life when you've had a lot of joy about being in the house of the Lord and worshiping God together with other believers. And that is awesome. That's when we want to live for Jesus. Over the past 7 weeks, the people have been preaching, have been talking about the Beatitudes and moving on through the Sermon on the Mount. We're continuing through on that sermon series today. And what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount is he's inviting us into a righteous living, a style of living that pleases him and is a righteous type of living. So he's not giving us a whole bunch of lists of things that we have to do, right? It's things we get to do, and that's where the motive shift is. It's not stuff you have to do, it's stuff you get to do that brings honor and glory to Jesus. So some of the things that we talked about over these last number of weeks was being salt and light, that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we are to be peacemakers, that we are to bless those who persecute us, pray for those who don't like us. It's a shift in our thoughts, right? Like, it's not our natural inclination to love people who hate us and to pray for their benefit. But that's the lifestyle that Jesus calls us into. He doesn't want us to live a life of hypocrisy. So if I could ask us, Abel, if you could just stand as we read through God's word here this morning. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Thank you. So what we see here is we're looking at two different types of situations here. One is giving to the needy, and one is praying. They seem like two very different things that we're talking about here. But when we cut down to the motives, what we're looking at is two parallel passages in a lot of ways. It's either you're giving in a showy kind of way so that people recognize you as the giver, or you're praying in such a way that you're trying to draw attention to yourself and that people will praise you because of your prayer. And I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a time when King James was still the main version of the Bible that people used in my early years. Then it kind of switched over to the New International Version and that. But even though people read the Bible in New International Version, they still prayed in King James. Do you relate with that? You pray with the these and the thous and all that. So what God is calling us to here is to not to pray in a way that draws attention to ourselves and that, but and uses the fancy lingo. So what are our motives? What are our motives that drive? Motives drive what our words are and what our actions are. So what are our motives? What drives us? Motives matter to our Heavenly Father, and I think this is the key part of this passage of Scripture we're looking at today, is how God is more interested in what our motives are than in what we actually say or what we actually do. Because if our motives are right with God, then what comes out of our mouth and what we do as our actions will be pleasing to Him, and will build up other believers and people who don't know Jesus yet as well. Be benefit to them. So when we look at this passage again, we're looking at two parallel thoughts here that are so focused on our motives. Motives matter to our Heavenly Father. Just a few months ago, we put on a Christmas cantata here, and a number of you were involved in one way or another. Perhaps you were singing, perhaps your kids were in the cantata, perhaps you were helping with the hospitality afterwards downstairs. But what you were doing was you were giving service back to Jesus. Now, if our motive for putting on a Christmas cantata was just to impress the neighborhood, if it was for people to say, you know, Community Bible Church, they got their music together. They've got quality music there. If that's all our motive is, then their praise to us saying, wow, that was a great concert, that's all we get. Right? That's all we get. And that's not the kind of motive God wants us to have. So when we put on a cantata, we want to put on a quality production. Again, not for our own glory. We want to put on a production so that other people will come and visit. They'll see the cantata and they'll say, you know what? I want to learn more about this Jesus who is behind the cantata. I want to know more about what makes the people that are here at Community Bible Church tick. Why do they have joy that I'm missing? That kind of thing. So we want them to come to the cantata, have a good experience, and then want to come back and hear more. But even more important than that is we want to put on a cantata that brings glory to Jesus first and foremost. Because if we're doing this for us and if we're doing it for the neighborhood, that misses the point of wanting to do a cantata with excellence as a way of praising our God. He has given us so much, and by us getting up here and singing in a cantata, we're giving back to Him, we're praising Him for what He has done for us. And in that, people will also be blessed. So what is our motive when we put on a cantata? What is our motive for putting on STEM Club? What is our motive for doing any number of the programs we offer here? If our motive is to praise God, then that's the A1 motive. If our motive is also to build up other people, to encourage people to get to know Jesus more, that's also a good motive. But if we're doing it just for show, we should just stop doing it. So we think of, in the first part here, is talk about giving to the poor. And that's kind of a human relationship thing. It's a person who is wealthy giving to a person who's not so wealthy. They're struggling financially. And we're talking about the second part when it's prayer, it's about that relationship between God and man. We want to have our motives right in both those areas. So whether our focus is on people or our focus is on a relationship with God. Verses 2 and 5 open with the assertion that Christ's followers are expected to give. And in verse 5, that they are expected to pray. So it's not the act of praying, and it's not the act of giving that's under the microscope here. It's the motives, the reason why we're giving, and the reason why we're praying. That is what's being examined in this passage. The term hypocrites is used here a couple times as well. And a hypocrite in the Greek language was someone who is an actor. So someone who's pretending that they are being generous, or someone who's pretending to be righteous in their prayer, but their heart's not in it. And so I think if we are honest with ourselves, right, sometimes our motives aren't great, and we need to lift that up to Jesus and let him deal with our motives. Are we putting on a show? Are we here today putting on a show? Are we putting on a show through the week when we're at work? Or on our sports teams, I play soccer, and sometimes it's hard to have right motives, especially when the referee gets the call wrong, right? Perhaps you can relate with that. So, and we might have, you know, and honestly, sometimes we have the best of intentions and the best of motives, but things don't turn out the way we think they should, right? And that can be frustrating. And sometimes you think, well, why did I have such a good motive in this when things just went sideways on me anyways? God, why didn't you honor that motive? So Jesus calls out the hypocrites here, the ones that are giving and praying for show in the synagogues and on the street corner. And also those who are babbling. It talks in the passage as well about how some people, so the pagans, were babbling on and on and on, as if by repeating the words over and over and over again, that God will relent and say, okay, I will do what you want to do. That's not how it works. God's more concerned about our motives. So you might even wonder, like maybe you've been coming here for a while, and maybe you've been to other churches before where they pass an offering plate up and down the rows, right? And you notice how we don't do that here. We do have offering boxes at the back you can put money in. But the reason why those boxes are at the back instead of us passing offering plates back and forth in the row is because we want you to be able to give in a discreet manner that's not for show, that you're not plunking your check out there with, you know, the numbers facing up so everyone can see who just gave, you know, $1,000 or whatever, right? We also don't pass offering plates because, you know what, sometimes the kids go rifling through it for change. No, that's not the real reason. So our motives are not that pure. No. But anyways, that's why we have the offering plates at the back. And now you can give online anyways, and it's like super discreet, and nobody knows what you're giving. So we don't blow the trumpets and say, you know, somebody just gave a big whack ton of money. In fact, I have no idea how much money anybody gives, and neither do the elders. So it's a very discreet way, because we want to honor this passage and not make it the giving as something we want to trumpet. Also, now we talk about prayer. So it talks in the passage here about praying in public and that. And is praying in public wrong? We do that in our services, but in here it's indicating that, you know, are we praying on the street corner? Are we praying to be heard? Well, there's a few reasons why we pray publicly in church. One is Jesus gave us a good example in just a few verses, as Daryl will touch on next week. He prayed in public. He prayed in public in other gospels as well. So praying in public's not the problem here. It's the motive behind praying in public that is what God's looking at here. So if we are praying in public, why do we do that? It's a way for us to collectively unify our thoughts, our will, our emotions, and focus them on Jesus. So we do that individually, and we do that collectively. It's a way of submitting our will to God and allowing him to apply his truths in our lives, both individually and collectively as a whole, as a congregation. And whether you're watching online or you're here in person, you enter into that with us when we pray together. Now, our motives matter to our Heavenly Father. Am I motivated by self? What are some ways that we can be motivated by ourselves? We want people to praise us. Basically, it comes down to what's in it for me, right? And some, you know, I struggled with putting together this sermon today because it's about motives. What are my motives for getting up here in front of you today and talking about God's word and how our motives play into that. I was honestly tempted to go out and invite a whole bunch of people that I don't normally invite to church. Well, why would that be? Is it because I wanted them to come and see me? Or is it because I wanted them to hear from God's word? And if I'm willing to invite them when I'm preaching, why would I not be willing to invite them when someone else is preaching? We want to hear from God, right? It doesn't matter who's standing up here. If the word of God is being spoken, then that's motive enough for us to invite our friends and our neighbors to be here, right? Because we want them to know who Jesus is and why he came and died on a cross for us, and why he rose again. He's got a personal plan for each one of us. So motives. Is my motive about myself? Am I focused on what I get out of this? As in the text here, the trumpets being played when they're giving money, the motive wasn't to give. The motive was actually to receive praise from people, to receive recognition. Do we want to be seen? Are we trying to force God's hand? Are our motives selfish? Or are we practicing righteousness? Others can be a motivation as well. And again, it's not a bad thing to want to do a good deed for somebody else, right? They get the benefit of it, and it's a good thing to benefit other people. But sometimes we can fall into the trap of people-pleasing. Again, this is something I can struggle with myself, where my motive may not be so pure. It might be that I just want to make someone else happy. Nothing the matter with wanting to make someone else happy, but is it because I'm just kind of satiate a need in my own heart? Perhaps you can relate with that as well. Another aspect of being motivated by others can be that I want to give to someone else. I want them to be blessed, but I will also want them to be impressed because of what I did for them, because of what I gave to them. So are we giving to them for them to be blessed, but also hold back some for me to be impressed, to be noticed about? Is that part of my motive, as being motivated by others? We'll receive praise from people if we give for selfish reasons. We will receive praise from people if we are motivated by others as well. But there's a better way. What if my motivation is from God? If I want to please others because of my love for God, is an extension of my love for God, my relationship with Him. That's a better motive. And when you bless others or pray in a way that is righteous and pleases God, then others still may praise you and say thank you for what you've done, but ultimately you will be rewarded by God. And what is more important? To be rewarded by people, praised by people, or to be rewarded by God. If our motivation is to give out of love for God, then God will reward us for that. And I'm not talking prosperity gospel here, like if you put a dollar in the offering plate, God's going to give you two. No, it doesn't work like that. Our motive has to be pure, and God understands our motives, and he will reward us according to our motive. And we might not see that on this side of heaven. When I think of motives, you think of people throughout the Bible who were heroes of the faith. And you think they were motivated by their love for God. And often they were. But there are also, one of the things I love about the Bible is it's so real. And I'm going to check my motive here, but even the heroes in the Bible, there's dirt on them, right? And in a way, that makes you feel good when there's dirt on people in the Bible, because that means, you know, it's not unique to them. It's not unique to me. But King David was one of the people in the Bible who is a hero of the faith and who was one of the biggest heroes of the faith, really. There's a lot written by David. There's a lot written about David. And what we see here in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, I think cuts to the heart of David. Now, David was known to be a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man who coveted his neighbor's wife. He committed adultery with his neighbor's wife. He also had the man killed who was his neighbor's wife's husband. Those are three of the big Ten Commandments that a man after God's own heart shattered. He didn't just break them, he shattered those rules. He was covetous, he was adulterous, and he was a murderer. So how do we wrestle with that, knowing that this is a man who's called after God's own heart? I think these two verses explain very well where that phrase came from. David says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So David here is pouring out his heart to God. He wants his motives to be pure before God. How do we look at this and say, "God, search me, know my heart, know my anxious thoughts, test me, God, see if there's an offensive way in me, lead me in the way everlasting"? Do we want to ask that question of God? Do you want him to do surgery in our hearts? Do you want to allow God to search and know the depth of my emotions, the depth of my motives? Do we want God to understand and to reveal to us what our thought process is? Do we want God to know our troubled thoughts? Do we want God to search out any and every sin? You know, when we accept Jesus into our heart, it's like we kick open the front door and say, "Jesus, come on in." We want him to be our Savior. We also need to make sure that he's Lord of our life. So that means if he wants to go into a closet, he can go there. Are we keeping closet doors shut? Do we have sin in our lives, habitual sin, that we know we just don't want God to deal with that? Perhaps you can relate with that. I'm standing up here today as a person who is convicted by this passage as well. So I'm preaching to myself as well. Are we willing to let God do business in our lives? David did. He desired to have God come into his mind, his heart, his will, his emotions, his motives. And he humbled himself before God. Are we willing to do the same? Are we going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? So why should I check my motives? If I'm checking my motives on everything, am I ever going to get anything done? You know, we can overthink things sometimes, but we need to make sure that our motives are right before God. One good way to understand our motives is to think of, if I was to do this deed and nobody was ever to know about it, would I still go ahead and do that deed? If the answer is no, then probably you're dealing with a selfish motive there. But if you're willing to do a deed that nobody is ever going to know about, and it benefits somebody else, then I would suggest that your motive is pure. There was a time, a number of years ago, we were young family. I think we had one or two kids at the time. And I was working a below poverty line kind of job. And at that point, we had to be wise with our money. And hopefully you made it to the next paycheck kind of thing. Well, there was one time when I don't think either Wendy or I told anybody about it, but we had come basically to the bottom of the bank account, and it was not payday for a little while. And somebody sent an envelope in the mail. There's $100 in it. Back in the day when $100 bought more than a bag of milk and a carton of eggs. And we, to this day, still do not know who that person was. And perhaps there's even an angelic hand that sealed that envelope and sent us the money. We don't know. But I can tell you this, we were extremely blessed by it. And whatever person mailed that did so secretly, because they didn't want their deeds to be seen by others. No trumpet, no fanfare. But there is a reward in heaven for that person. They know who they are. And God will honor that. So are we doing that in our lives? Are we doing something so that we will not be recognized? Or do we want that pat on the back? This Christmas, we received another envelope with $100 in it, and it was a blessing, anonymously given. And that person might be in this room, and they will know who they are, and no one else ever will, but God will reward them for it. So where do we fall with our motives here? Do they matter? They absolutely do. And why do they matter? Our motives matter because they matter to our Heavenly Father. So when considering our motives, we need to ask, would I still do this good deed if no one would ever know that I did it? Many of us have social media accounts as well. And sometimes we can post something on social media just because we know somebody's going to click that like button or give you the heart or whatever. And is our motive for putting that post on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, is that so that people will feed our hunger for identity? Is that so that people will respond and say, you know, thumbs up, love what you had to say? Or are we posting it because there's a message God's put in our heart that he wants us to relay to others? Is that what our motive is? Is God the center of our motive? Is our motive to please others? Is our motive to get the like? That's between you and God. I'm not going to judge you on that. As I mentioned before, I struggled to be here this morning and to be honest with my motivations, right? Did I want praise from people? Did I want to have praise from God? So that is our moment of truth there. And perhaps you can relate with the struggle of motives. So how do we check our motives? What are ways that we can understand what's going on in our heart? Because honestly, sometimes we just do stuff, right? We don't think about it, we just do it. And at times we need to stop and think, well, what is my motive? Why do I want to do this? Am I doing it so that I will receive reward for this? I'll receive praise from people? Or am I hungering for identity, like with the Facebook post? I think what's most important here is that you make that a conversation between you and God, that you ask God, search my heart. God, know my heart. What is my motive here? Help me to discern. Is this something for me? Is this someone for something else? Or is this something that brings honor and glory to you? My motive is to praise you through my actions. So ask yourself in prayer, make it a matter of prayer, and ask God to reveal to you what your motives are. And sometimes, even at that, we still like, God, is it Satan who's putting this impression on me? Is it you? Sometimes it's hard to tell, right? But sometimes you can go to a trusted friend and say, look, I'm dealing with this situation. I'm having a hard time here with, you know, knowing where my motives really land on this. Can you help me with that? And they'll know from your character. They'll know from the situation if this is something where your motives are good, where if your motives are focused on helping people, if your focus is on praising God. Now, one of my jobs here at Community Bible Church as pastor of ministries is to ensure that we have people in ministry roles so those ministries can happen, right? So what I can do from my job perspective is say, okay, we have a ministry here that needs a leader. Can I find anybody who's got a pulse? Can I find anybody, please, anybody? And then I just jam somebody in there, and my motive is not a good motive. My motive is selfish. I just need a position filled. I'm going to stuff somebody in there. I can also look at and say, we've got a position here that needs to be filled. Who is God directing me to go to? Who has giftedness in that area? It might be an area of leadership. It might be an area of being able to work with kids. It might be an area of someone who's musically inclined, that kind of thing. And so back in the summer, as we were planning to start a new ministry, the elders and I kind of batted around a few names of some people that might be good for a certain ministry that we're starting up that needed somebody who was good with kids, had leadership ability, had a heart for God, and we found someone who was the ideal fit. I'm not going to tell you who it is or what ministry it is, because that's not the point of this. What it was a motive issue. And our motives, as the elders and I, were to get someone who could flourish in this ministry. And they have. Our motive was for God to be honored in this, and He has been. Our motive was not to just fill a spot. Now turn the tables a bit here. Community Bible Church is actually a church where, you know, a lot of places they say 20% of the work gets done by 80% of the people, and 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. At Community Bible Church, I honestly feel that we have a lot more than 20% of the people who do the work here. And I am extremely grateful for that. And I trust that your motives for doing that are because you love God and you want to exercise the gifting that He has given you in the context of the church here. And even though we do have a very large number of people who do that, there are still, we can always come up with positions to fill. And if we are loving God and exhibiting that through what we do, what we say, and what we think, we will want to be involved in ministry. I'm not here to give you a guilt trip. Believe me, that's not my motive. But what an opportunity for you to step in and say, God has given me a gift in a certain area, maybe it's teaching Sunday school, whatever, and I want to use that to bring glory to God. I want to use the gift that God has given me to give to others. That is a beautiful thing. And over the years, a lot of you, maybe you've been in a ministry for a long time, and you need a break. I get it. I've been there myself. We all, even Jesus, right? He was teaching and preaching on a regular basis. Every once in a while, He needed to step back too. So sometimes we need to as well, and just take a step back, get refocused, re-energized, and then right back into ministry again. And whether it's the same ministry you were involved in before, or maybe you need something fresh and new, we can work with you on that as well. But what's your motive? Is your motive selfish? Is your motive to please others? Is your motive to please God? So ways, or how we can check our motives again is our focus on praise. Is it towards me? Is my identity wrapped up in this? Pray about it. Ask God to search out your heart and ask others for help. So I have a puzzle piece here, and I didn't bring the whole puzzle. But if I had a puzzle up here that was maybe 10 pieces and it would complete the puzzle, and if we had 50% of that puzzle filled and you had a piece in your hand, would you put it in the puzzle? Or would you say, you know what? I'm going to keep my piece of the puzzle out for now and maybe wait for a new lead pastor to see, you know, is this the jive? Is this the fit? Well, you already have a shape. You have a fit. And the church here, Community Bible Church, has a spot for you. No matter what your gifting is, there's a place for you. So maybe this afternoon as we go home and we think about today and we check our motives, and we think, you know what, I might have a puzzle piece. I don't really understand my shape. We can help you with that. We can help you discover where your fit is. Anyways, I thank you so much for being here today. It is a joy to be here with you. And, you know, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been up here, and I wouldn't have said that I'd love to be here, but I absolutely love to be here.